Ladies and gentlemen, return your radios to their upright position. Prepare for takeoff with America's First Lady of Liberty. A voice, not left, not right, but truth-centered. Centered now from the live, free, or die sovereign state of New Hampshire. Raise up another rousing cheer for the Doctor of Digital Privacy. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Catherine Albrecht.
Hello and welcome to Hour 2 of the program. So we head into the weekend here together. Catherine Albrecht here with you. And as you know, since about 2003, I've been focused on the issue of RFID, or radio frequency identification, tiny microchips that can be hooked up to miniature antennas with or without their own power source that are able to transmit unique ID numbers and sometimes even more information at a distance. Of course, the problem with RFID is that because it uses radio waves, the things we normally would count on to protect our privacy, things like, you know, pockets and purses and backpacks and, you know, visual blocks from other people seeing stuff, including even walls and doorways, none of those work to stop radio frequency waves from penetrating. So what this really does, this technology, if we actually move forward with what its promoters refer to as the Internet of Things, where everything will contain one of these tiny microchips and be able to be queried at a distance, you kind of give those other folks, whether they're marketers, government, or hackers, you give them a form of Superman-type X-ray vision to actually peer into your pockets, figure out what's in there, figure out who you are, look do sort of an inventory of everything in your suitcase, or even sit in the hotel room next to you and figure out, well, who's on the other side of the wall and what they brought with them. So joining us to talk about some of the vulnerabilities that have recently been disclosed in RFID, radio frequency ID technology, is my guest today, Fran Brown. Is a partner at Bishop Fox. It's a security consulting firm that provides IT security services to the Fortune 500 companies, also global financial institutions and high-tech startups. In that role, Fran focuses on running service delivery, managing the assessment and penetration testing practice. We'll get into some of what that is in a moment, and heading up their thought leadership program. More recently, he's presented his research at some leading conferences, including Black Hat USA, DEF CON, InfoSec World, and more. And let me now welcome Francis Brown to the program. Hey, Fran, glad you could join us today.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's going great, and I appreciate your coming on. So let me start by just asking you how you became interested in the whole issue of RFID and the potential vulnerability of radio frequency ID tags.
Well, it's something that really came up in a little over a year ago, and basically I was doing an assessment of a electric utility company, and the objective was to get access to their SCADA systems, which control basically the electric utility grid and, you know, things like that. And this particular network that controls that was only accessible from two specific buildings. So essentially I needed to break into a building. So the research kind of was born out of necessity. I started to try to understand RFID badging systems, physical security systems to be able to walk in the front door of one of these two buildings and plug right into a network that I needed to get access to.
Now, people may be hearing this going, oh, my gosh, you know, it can't be that easy to walk into a building. But I actually flew to Michigan a couple of years back and testified before their state legislature on the issue of RFID security. And one of the things that I was able to do using a handheld pager-sized device created by a security researcher named Jonathan Westhues is I stood on the elevator next to one of the state assembly members. I pressed a button. I actually held a little newspaper, and I had my device rolled up inside of the newspaper. They were privy to this, so it wasn't a secret, but I pressed a little button on his device that then read the RFID signal from this lawmaker's identity badge, the one that they used to access the state capitol, the one that they used to open up their office door, and ultimately the one that eventually they would probably use to access their computer network. And I simply pressed a button. The button read that individual's signal right off of, you know, right through their pocket. And then I pressed another button, and I began emitting that signal myself. I then walked over to their office door and held this little handheld pager-sized device up to the door, and boom, the door just opened right up. So is it really that easy? Has it become easier? And do people really understand, Fran, that this is the kind of vulnerability that we're looking at?
Essentially, it is that easy, and it's kind of interesting. Basically, around the time you're describing, around 2006, is when people started to realize that the majority of badging systems use this low-frequency RFID, and it is that easy to copy somebody's card and then, you know, break into a building like that. Now, since then, since about 2006 or so, you know, this became abundantly clear. People talked about it. Some tools came out. But as of last month, there was a study released by the main manufacturer that makes these systems saying that, you know, despite all of that, about 80% of the systems still out there protecting buildings still use this legacy low-frequency RFID, which is that easy to break into, basically. So even though we've known that this has been an issue since 2006, we've pretty much made no progress between 2006 and now in terms of upgrading systems to the more secure products that are out there.
Now, Fran, one of the issues, obviously, is the news cycle drives a lot of this. If there were a big, you know, Ed Snowden-style scandal about HID, and I assume that's the company you're referring to, HID access systems being being vulnerable because they're legacy systems, you know, then immediately there would be congressional investigations, and all of the big Fortune 500 companies would be calling their IT and security people on the carpet, and we would see heads rolling and everything would change. Given that we haven't seen that level of media exposure of this, is it the case that it's simply not being abused? Is this just a vulnerability that nobody knows about and no one is exploiting, or is it one that's being regularly exploited but we just don't know about it?
Based on the way those systems work, there's not really any kind of intrusion detection mechanism. So if somebody was badging in and coming into your buildings all day long, if you're using these legacy systems, you would probably have no idea. So I'd say the degree to which it's being exploited is definitely unknown. And in the instances where people have, you know, happen to have called someone, maybe they noticed someone walking around, it's not exactly something that they would, you know, tell people about. So it's kind of hard to understand exactly how often this is being exploited out there.
Right, and this is in place in hospitals. This is in place in nuclear power facilities. I mean, this is in place in some places that really could, you know, be a disaster. And I mean that figuratively and literally be a disaster if something could go wrong there. If you're the person charged with security at the nuclear power plant, though, and it comes to your attention that someone has managed to what's called cloning, managed to clone an RFID access badge and gotten onto your facility, the last thing you're going to do is call up Fox News or CNN and say, hey, guys, you know, big top headline news, our security was really bad and here's what happened. So it's certainly the kind of story that people wouldn't want to have exposed. So I think they've actually got an interest in kind of making the problem seem minimal or not expose it. Now, what you do there at your security firm is you actually consult with these Fortune 500 companies to point out these vulnerabilities. When you do that, do they listen when you say, hey guys, you got a 10-year-old legacy access system here, you got to upgrade? Do they say, that's too expensive, or do they say, really, tell us more?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they need to make business decisions about whether it's worth the investment of money to shore up a vulnerability, whether it's your bad system for the front door or web application vulnerability for their main web application. But for the most part, they do listen to us and you know, take the high risk pretty seriously and go about addressing them. It's usually just a matter of they were unaware, which is why they brought us in the first place to kind of find these things for them and point them out to them.
All right. So now these are the vulnerabilities we've known about for, you know, 10 years or so, and this is really an issue of legacy systems. What I want to get into next when we come back after this break with my guest friend, Fran Brown. Fran, I want to talk about some of your research, which is really cutting edge, looking at long-range ability to read RFID tags, and this is something that the listeners probably are not aware of. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. My book is called Spy Chips. It's all about RFID. Get yourself a copy if you don't have one, and you'll learn more when we come back. Stay tuned. We live in a scary world, and things seem to get worse every day. Yet when you hear me on the radio, there's a spring in my step and a smile in my voice. How is that possible with all the bad news I have to plow through each day? The answer is a simple one. It's because of my relationship with God. I come to Him with my prayers, faith, and love, and He rewards me with protection, courage, and calm. He meets all my needs and opens doors for me when they need to be opened. God wants that kind of relationship with you, too. To find the comfort and security that comes from knowing the God of the universe, the loving God who made you, you can start by reading the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament, about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. Pray before you begin reading. Ask God to touch your heart and let you feel His love. The Lord wants to save you from the ravening beast nipping at all of our heels. He wants to embrace you as His beloved child and meet all of your needs. Give Him a chance to do it. Read the book of Matthew today.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing.
Yeah, so swim through the information quagmire. I'll hand you a lifeboat. We can get through this together. So much going on, so much changing so quickly, it's hard to make sense of it all. And it's hard to figure out which things are important and which things we need to be paying attention to. I'm sure this is one of the challenges faced by the Fortune 500 companies, which today's guest frequently consults with. The security issues that they face are numerous. They've got to look at their internet traffic. They've got to look at their physical security, their doorway access, their computers, the laptops, the online cloud computing. I'm sure it's time for IT and security directors to really be tearing their hair out right now over so many things to be staying on top of. My guest, Fran Brown, helps them do exactly that as a security consultant and expert on security issues. And, Fran, I want to change gears just a little bit. You recently gave a presentation at the Black Hat Security Conference, and your presentation was called RFID Hacking, Live Free or RFID Hard. And one of the things you talk about in here is how to use an Arduino microcontroller to, quote, weaponize commercial RFID badge readers, turning them into custom long-range RFID hacking tools. Now, I want to get into that. Before I do that, I'm sure many people are listening going, oh my gosh, you're a hacker. You're weaponizing things. Explain to us the difference between a white hat hacker, a black hat hacker, a hacker that works for industry versus a hacker that works for some crime syndicate in, you know, in the Eastern Bloc or the former Eastern Bloc. What exactly is your role in all of this? How do you get involved in this kind of hacking? And let's just reassure the listeners that you're not out there to wreak havoc, but to actually prevent havoc.
So what it comes down to is, I would say the field that we're really involved in when you said white hat hacker is typically referred to as penetration testing. So penetration testing is live testing where we are simulating a real threat. We're acting as if a hacker would to try to break in, try to steal things before someone else can, so that we can then go to the company and tell them how we broke in and show them what we did. And how they can go about preventing other people from doing it. So, it's kind of a test exercise before someone actually really breaks into you to see how strong your defenses are.
Great explanation there. And Chris Padgett, who was, I actually interviewed for my, the film I helped to produce, Shadow Government. Chris Padgett actually does that for eBay, or at least was doing that for eBay last time I spoke, to Chris. So that's the idea, that these companies hire people whose specific job it is to go around and try to find vulnerabilities so that they can plug them up. With that said, let's talk about your presentation, RFID Hacking, Live Free or RFID Hard. What do you mean use an Arduino microcontroller to weaponize the RFID badge reader? First of all, what is the badge reader as opposed to the badge itself, and how in the world would you weaponize it?
So it's interesting. You brought up earlier the Jonathan West Hughes product, which is the Proxmark, that you use
yes.
to be able to make a copy of someone's card. And basically, in trying to break into this building last year, after about 6 years, that was still pretty much the best tool that you could get on the market for doing this kind of testing. And, as revolutionary as the Proxmark was and is, and useful it is, it has one huge limitation, which is distance. You pretty much have to take the Proxmark antenna and get within a centimeter or two of someone's car to be able to steal the information off of it. So,
and that's me on the elevator. Yeah, just so people can follow what we're discussing. That's me on the elevator. The device that I had wrapped up or rolled up in a newspaper was Jonathan West Hughes's Proxmark device. Again, I said it's about the size of a pager or maybe of an older cell phone. And I had to have it wrapped up in the newspaper, and I had to be, as you said, within about a centimeter. I almost brushed the pants pocket of the person who I was skimming. I had to be right next to them on the elevator. The only place you're going to get close enough to brush by somebody is on an elevator, or maybe if they're sitting in the cafeteria or something. But it's kind of hard to walk up to somebody and go, oh, boom. I guess pickpockets do it, and hackers could do it. But, yeah, you do have to get right up next to them, and that's not always possible without being really conspicuous. So let me let you continue now.
Yeah, and especially you need to know what pocket it's even in. Or you have to go
into right.
every one of their pockets. But this wasn't really practical for me. Part of my job is to not get caught. We're not doing our job if we get caught in doing this whole process. The people that I was stealing information from were not aware that I was doing this, so I didn't want to get caught. So in doing this, I tried to come up with a tool that, instead of a centimeter or two, actually gave us about 3 feet worth of range so that I could casually walk by them in a Starbucks or, you know, something like that and pick up their badge information from a couple feet away.
Okay.
And in doing that, what I did was I took a long-distance badge reader, the kind that you would find in a parking garage. I live in Phoenix, and if you actually went to the long-term parking in the Phoenix airport, the reader that's on the pole as you go into the parking is the exact reader that I'm using that you find in a parking garage so that basically you don't have to get out of your car. You can roll down your window and stick your arm out with a badge, and from a few feet away, it'll read your badge. So I took one of those, and I opened it up and basically put in some batteries to power it and an Arduino microcontroller to kind of tap into the logic of it so that normally as you came into the parking lot, you hold your badge up, it would read your badge information, send it down a wire into a building, and it would decide to open the gate or not for you. Instead of doing that, I just had it take the badge information and write it to a little micro SD card that you find in a camera or a cell phone, and just record every badge that it sees to a little card for me so that I can go back home and then make a copy of that card.
So you could, now, let me just say in theory. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, and this thing is about 1 foot by 1 foot and an inch deep. So it looks like a small tablet, basically, something you could easily put in a briefcase or a messenger bag and walk by people with.
Now, when you walk by, do you have to be holding it up in front of you like a shield? Or can you just have it hanging from your side or slung over your shoulder?
Basically, hanging from your side, slung over your shoulder. It does sort of have to point at the person. So if you're walking by them, if you have a messenger bag off to your side, as you walk by them, it'll pick it up just fine.
Now, is this picking up the older legacy system that you said 80% of the companies that have these systems in place are using the older, unencrypted, easy-to-hack version? Are those the targets for this kind of a hack?
Exactly, yep.
And would it be possible then, let's say you wanted to get access to a secure facility, to simply go to the nearby coffee shops at lunchtime or just even stand outside the building by the doorway or on the sidewalk and, appear to just be loitering or smoking a cigarette and just capture every single tag that walks past you and get all of them, thus being able to really emulate anybody on the campus?
Pretty much, yeah. It's that easy.
It's that easy. All right, folks, you're hearing it here on the Catherine Albrecht Show. My guest, Fran Brown, and I will be back to talk more about this and maybe some solutions when we come back. Stay tuned.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off. Free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Got a simple question for you. Can you sell?
Yes.
Okay. Can you sell the intangible?
If yes, and you'd like to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, with no overtime, no weekends, if you're passionate about not closing sales, but about opening relationships, if you truly have a desire to serve global clients who need your advertising expertise, and you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable and a whiz on the phone, GCN wants to talk with you right now. GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, and we're hiring right now. We offer benefits and an excellent commission structure. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. Again, that's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, an equal opportunity employer.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Albert here, visiting with Fran Brown. He's a partner at Bishop Fox, a security consulting firm providing IT security services to Fortune 500 companies and global financial institutions. Sounds like they need all the help they can get, given all the vulnerabilities and the technologies that we've been surrounding ourselves with, in the name of security, no less. These badges that are in place at literally millions of doorways across the globe, those badges were originally sold to the companies that bought them as a high security feature. No more worrying about keys or duplicate keys. You can keep track of who comes and who goes. Unique ID number for each of your employees. You can keep tabs on when they opened the door or when they got to work, if they were late or taking time off or slouching around. You can figure all that out, and it's more secure. Turns out that it actually is making people much less secure, because at least in the case of a key, you'd have to hit somebody over the head or pick their pocket. Right now, you can stand within 3 feet of them just at the doorway entrance of a building and capture everybody's ID codes, then emulate them and bust into the building yourself. Before we get back to our conversation with Fran Brown, I want to remind you, you're listening to the Dr. Catherine Albrecht radio program. This show broadcasts live every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Pacific, 2 to 4 Mountain Time, and 3 to 5 p.m. the Central Time Zone. Also on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. You can catch the program on your local radio dial on our several dozen affiliates around the country, or you can catch the program by going to my website, kmashow.com. Those are my initials, or katherinealbrecht.com. I want to also remind you that this program is sponsored in part by startpage.com, the world's most private search engine. Startpage, which I helped to create back in 2009, is the private way to access 100% pure Google results with no tracking, no surveillance. Startpage, third-party certified. We delete your IP address. We make no records of your searches, and we've been at this longer than anybody else. So let's get quickly back to our conversation. Fran Brown is my guest. Fran, the picture that you paint of someone being able to walk around with a 1 foot by 1 foot, 1 inch thick tablet in their messenger bag and simply walk through, I don't know, the streets of New York, the streets of Washington, D.C., God forbid, the streets outside of nuclear power plants, that's a scary image, isn't it?
It's pretty scary when these kind of technical vulnerabilities start to translate to real physical world issues. It's definitely scary.
Yeah, and I think even worse is the fact that we don't know how much this is actually happening, nor will we ever probably know, because it's not the kind of thing, unless some whistleblower comes forward, that anyone's ever going to just call up the media and tell them about. So this is a real concern. Let me ask you something else about RFID privacy. Back when I was doing a bunch of research for state legislatures around the country on this technology, I actually borrowed an alien reader. This was This was a Matrix reader. And this reader was, you know, it was bigger than what you described. It was probably 3 feet long by about a foot wide. And I was able to plug this reader in to my computer in an office and actually read someone's enhanced driver's license or e-passport card through the wall as they simply walked down the hallway. Now, this is even more disturbing because what this means is that I could be on the other side of a wall and you could have a little thing tucked into your wallet in your pocket. And simply by walking by, I would be able to pick up that signal. Chris Padgett, who I mentioned earlier in the program, who is the hacker who's done this, you can actually look up Chris Padgett, RFID hack on YouTube, and you can see the video. Chris Padgett put an RFID reader similar to the one I described, about 3 feet by 1 foot, mounted it inside of a car and drove down the streets of San Francisco and was able to capture the enhanced driver's license numbers right out of people's pockets as they were walking up and down the street. Now, it's one thing if I get, you know, access to your entry badge. Presumably there's video cameras and other things that might hopefully stop or slow down an intruder. But if I'm able to walk down the street and capture the driver's license numbers that are used to cross the border into Canada and Mexico and back again, then that actually creates a big national security issue. So what would you advise people if they're thinking about these kinds of systems or maybe getting an enhanced driver's license, which is an unencrypted EPC tag that can be read by, you know, even the Walmart entry scanners can read those. The Walmart underwear shelves can read those. Hackers driving down the street can read them, and the government can read them from, you know, up to 50 feet away. So what would you advise people who are considering adopting or not these kinds of technologies?
It's funny you brought up Walmart and things like that. I actually had someone contacting me asking me if I had any thoughts around a product they were trying to create where, you know, they could either scan things coming off your phone or your driver's license like that as you came into stores like Walmart or CVS, they wanted to try to find a way to track ads that they sent you or got to you somewhere, whether Facebook or email, and then track whether you physically walked down an aisle in a particular store so that they could basically get metrics to justify how effective ads are working on you and actually track your movements and your purchasing based on what they sent you and where you're physically walking around. I told the
person that,
you know, that was not something that I was interested in being a part of. It was just random. Go ahead.
The inquiry that you got, was it coming in from a consultant that was working for these companies? Did it come in from the companies themselves? Who reached out to you?
This was some security person that had saw one of my previous talks and decided to just email me up out of the blue asking if I had any ideas on the best way to go about doing something like that. Completely out of the blue a few months back.
That's extraordinary. Well, I guess the good news, I suppose, if there is a silver lining to this awful story you're telling us, if they were just doing it a couple of months ago and still trying to figure out how to do it, they're not doing it yet. I guess that's the upside. The downside is you'd have no way of knowing this was happening. I know one of the things going on at Walmart, we've been protesting their use of RFID since back in 2005 when we caught them hiding RFID tags in Gillette razor products and using them to trigger hidden cameras to take close-up mugshots of people's faces as they picked up the products from the shelf. And you can read about that at boycottgillette.com. But we actually got them to stop it because it was was a hidden system. No one would have known about it except I happened to hear someone boasting about it internally and was able to go and actually prove, look, there's the reader, there's the wires, there's the tags in the Gillette product. So we were able to blow the lid off of that. But one of the things that's happening now at Walmart, you know, Walmart has an EPC reader installed in the underwear shelf, and they're expanding them now through other departments throughout the store. So the EPC reader, and EPC stands for electronic product code. It's the RFID tag that they want to put on products. The EPC reader would be able not only to read any EPC tagged products that you bought anywhere, but it would also, more disturbingly, be able to actually read these driver's licenses and enhanced e-passports. California right now has a bill pending that would make California the most recent state to join this awful enhanced driver's license option program, where people in the state of California could pay an additional fee when they signed up for their driver's license. They could check off a little box, show proof of citizenship, additional proof, and have their driver's licenses actually embedded with an RFID tag and antenna transponder that would be operating on that EPC standard. Knowing what you know about the widespread EPC access, where you've got, you know, Walmart using it, CVS using it, all these stores using EPC to manage their inventory, what are the potential downsides of having people walk around with that in their own pockets, do you think?
I mean, that case in point, in all honesty, I'm pretty creative in trying to think of some of these ways that people might be able to exploit this kind of information. And even I hadn't considered some of the tracking and information gathering that people were thinking about in terms of, if I could follow you, if I could track you, where you shop, where you walk, what you do, people are going to be looking to capture and harvest that information and use it in ways that you probably haven't even imagined or thought of, and exploit your privacy. So there's... You're only limited by your imagination in terms of how people might abuse this type of technology to track you and what it is that you're doing, what you're buying, where you're going.
That's right. So folks, keep this stuff, keep it out of your wallet. Keep it out of your pocket. Check no on the box when they ask you want this stuff. All right, we'll be right back with Fran Brown right after this.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
This is privacy expert Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We're all creatures of habit, but there are some habits you need to break if you want to hang on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the 1 week Start Page Challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to startpage.com instead. Try 7 days on Start Page and break the Big Brother habit, just like I did. I switched to Start Page and never looked back. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try startpage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind a marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, What do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at herbalhealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
It was 1776 when the founders signed the writ of independence from the Brits. It was revolution. Now an enemy from within would enslave us all again and deprive us of our rights in the Constitution. Restore the Republic. Wake up, it's time to understand. Restore the Republic.
And it's happening. It is. It's taking a little time, but it's happening in large part, thanks to folks like Ed Snowden, who have revealed this information to us to let us know just how vulnerable we are on the Internet. Folks like Fran Brown, the folks at the DEF CON conferences and the Black Hat hacker conferences who get together and talk about these vulnerabilities to bring them to our attention, you know, not to let the hackers know how they can exploit them, but to let the people, the good guys, know how to prevent this from happening. And, you know, you're out there being one of the good guys. I'm going to let you know the way you prevent this from happening. Whatever you do, do not take an RFID tagged card into your wallet, whether it's an RFID tagged credit card, which have already been shown to be vulnerable, and especially if it's an RFID tagged so-called enhanced driver's license being issued in those border states of Michigan, Washington State, potentially now California, Vermont, other states that are issuing these on request. You know, don't freak out. You don't have one in your driver's license if you didn't ask for it. But I think it's going to become mandatory. I think it's coming. They're going to get them out there voluntarily to as many people as will accept them and pay for the privilege of being tracked with these things. And then it's going to become, oh, yeah, the next security move we've got to do, all of these state driver's licenses or even national ID cards are going to have these tracking devices. And once you start talking EPC, electronic product code, and you get into the retail setting, as we've been talking with Fran Brown here, then you get the RFID readers in the door. You know, they're part of those anti-theft scanners that you walk through, made by Checkpoint Systems and other companies. You know, you walk right through it, and it's going to be scanning you. It's going to read your driver's license. It's going to read the size of your shoes. It's going to read the size and color of your underwear. It's going to be reading all of it as you simply walk through the doorway, and not just the doorway. You know, we found a patent, and Fran, I want to get you a copy of my book, Spy Chip, so you can really see just how horrifying the plans are that people have come up with this. You said you don't don't have you have a lot of imagination. Well, let me tell you, these people have even crazy amounts of imagination. But one of the things we found was a patent by IBM, which they colorfully called the person tracking unit. And the person tracking unit is simply RFID readers embedded in the environment that pick up the EPC signals being emitted by all these consumer products people buy. And the idea is that when you go and buy those pair of, you know, size 10 Nikes, that when you pay with a credit card, they say, aha, you know, Fran bought that pair of Nikes, and we know that the unique ID number embedded in the sole of the shoe that he doesn't even know is there is 308247. And every time we see that, you know, if he walks through a doorway, when we pick up that number, we look it up, cross-reference it, and go, aha, got a live one. You know, you're not going to share your shoes with somebody else. We know it's you. So when we looked at where they want to put this so-called person tracking unit, you know, IBM, one of the biggest government contractors, one of the biggest IT companies, and you know, they're making physical, they're really trying to make this RFID world into the Internet of Things, a physical reality. And they said they want to put this person tracking unit in museums, theaters, libraries, bus stations, even elevators and public restrooms. So every single place you go, the floors, the walls, the furniture itself, even the picture frames on the wall would be scanning you. I mean, it's like a spy era nightmare gone crazy. And this is exactly what they want to do. And they're using these EPC tagged driver's licenses as the way to do it. Let me ask you, because you know about these things, when you upgrade your HID door access system to a more secure system, you do it with encryption, right? I mean, you it makes sense. You don't want just anyone to be able to pick up the signal.
Exactly, and they do things like challenge response authentication, so that you know what your badge actually broadcasts out in the air is different every single time. It's not something that you just listen for and record and make a copy of. So there are much more secure products out there for physical security. It's just a matter of, you know, people spending the money to upgrade.
So I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but let me tell you one place where I get really concerned. Back in 2005, when they were talking about doing this enhanced driver's license, not only us privacy advocates cried foul, but the actual RFID industry itself, including HID, including a number of vendors, they all commented to the State Department and said, you people are out of your freaking minds to put EPC tags with no encryption, no challenge response, no protection whatsoever, designed for long-range simplicity and ease of reading by any RFID reader. Why in the name of heaven would you put those things into people's driver's licenses and ID cards? And despite the industry itself, the industry that stood to profit from this happening, they themselves weighed in large numbers with formal testimony, written testimony, saying don't do it. And the government did it anyway. So can you think of any reason, any legitimate reason why the government would want something like an EPC tag in people's driver's licenses other than to spy on them?
I mean, I could think of quite a few reasons. It'd be completely speculating, but either, you know, I could see why the government would want the ability to easily track the comings and goings of individuals on their own, let alone if, you know, there were lobbyists involved kind of pushing these things, that there are plenty of people that would have a vested interest in being able to easily track where you go and what you do, that could be, you know, pushing this at a lobbyist level. One can only really speculate.
Well, but you know, the problem is it makes people vulnerable not just to, you know, government surveillance, but also hackers, you know, as you pointed out, as has been so amply demonstrated, not only hackers, but people who would be identity thieves that would clone your number just by standing near you or even reading, as I did, reading through a wall. You can get the hotel room next to your Target and just read their ID tag through the wall and clone it. I mean, it's that easy. It's that simple. So, you know, marketers, as you pointed out, who want to track us around the stores. I mean, this really does put the American people at risk. And again, it's in the name of security, quote unquote. I've got my big air quotes here. In the name of security, we're going to put this high technology into the driver's licenses. But the reality is it makes you so much more vulnerable. Never a good idea to put a tracking device on anything that you value that can be easily picked up by other people. All right, let me ask you just in our final couple of minutes here, Fran, as you think about security, how much of this is physical and how much of it really is the internet, and are there steps that we can take on the internet to stay protected as well?
I would say that, this is kind of one of those weird hybrids where you have a cross of physical security issues and cybersecurity issues. And kind of that, since it lays in that kind of in between, is a large reason why some of these vulnerabilities continue to persist, because, you know, both sides of the coin, people don't understand fully physical security or cybersecurity. What people could do about it is interesting. It's going to be quite a bit for some of our customers are Fortune 50. I mean, they have hundreds of thousands of employees. You know, to change every single badge reader and every single card that hundreds of thousands of people have is no small endeavor. So to get around it in the short term, I recommend getting the types of wallets or protective sleeves that you could put your cards in that block transmissions. The one caveat with that would be, and this is amazing to me, is that out of the ones that you could buy to do this type of thing, some of them work and some of them don't. And there doesn't really seem to be any rhyme or reason. So you might buy an RFID protective sleeve to put your credit card in or your, you know, your badge for work, and it might be no more secure than a piece of paper.
So when you say some work and some don't, let me ask you, is it the case that like some brands work and other brands don't, or that within a single brand some of their sleeves do and don't work?
Some brands work and some brands don't. So
okay, so if I found a brand, So if I test three or four sleeves from brand X, could I then assume that all of the sleeves from brand X that meet that same model, the specifications, are probably okay?
I would think so. I mean, I haven't bought them in, you know, that kind of bulk. It, I mean, it's for 20,000 employees or something. If you're buying that many, you might want to spot check so many of them. But it seems to be that certain brands work and certain brands just don't.
Well, keep us posted on that research. I'm very interested in knowing that. Solutions are always a good thing. And would love to talk to you maybe offline here just a little bit about some of the security pieces and technologies that we're putting into place, too, to protect people from the whole NSA spying. My guest this hour, Fran Brown, partner at Bishop Fox. They're online at bishopfox.com. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. My website is kmashow.com. My email address is kma@spychips.com. I want to thank you so much for joining me these last 2 hours. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated and most proteins you consume are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Way, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.